Hi, everyone, and welcome to AB Conversations, where we will help you CFP your way out of it, a podcast where you get into the minds of a couple certified financial planners on how we think and feel about everyday financial planning questions and what should really matter most to you. A healthier financial life starts now.
Hi, Adam. Welcome back. Podcast number... You on the spot. Do you know what number this one is?
You know that I don't.
Me neither, but for everybody out there, it's in the title, I'm sure.
So, 100 and something.
Yes. I know I usually say this, but I'm excited about this topic today. Because yeah? As you and I go through the evolution of communicating with people over time, I think sometimes we put ourselves in the spot where we're like, man, are we speaking the same language as our clients? Like, we get stuck in financial jargon. You know, these are things that we deal with on a day-to-day basis. So like, we think short-term bucket means something, but to somebody else that may mean something completely different. So let's go through today. I think we're going to call this redefining one of our core concepts of investing, our three bucket theory, for the purpose of making sure that people really understand what we're talking about.
Yes. So I think the important part is, to your point, I think we, and I know I'm guilty of this frequently, because we live it, we breathe it, we interact with this all day long. Yeah, the terminology just becomes secondhand, but then talking to a client who doesn't necessarily interact with it or have the depth or even want to go to that depth of knowledge. Like, let's just meet them where they're at so that these concepts can move beyond just the conceptual and actually get put into practice, because we know that the rubber has to meet the road. Implementation, getting things put in the right spots, moving forward, getting things done is ultimately the name of the game. So now it's just trying to connect these two sides so that someone has a really good idea of what we mean when we say the short-term bucket. And that's going to mean different things to different people.
Especially when there are times of angst or we're in this spot where it sounds so simple. We've gone through financial planning to say, here's what we think you need over what period of time. Here's how we're going to invest it. But then they're going to open up their statement. They're going to go to the online portal. And I think being able to connect the dots between what that concept was and where your money is in these different accounts at these different times, it's just going to help. It's not only going to help with our communication, with their understanding, but I really hope it helps at a time when there's flux in their life to really see how they're doing in what bucket to be able to hopefully at all times just feel okay. Good times are in bad.
Yeah. And I think, so ultimately I think some of it comes down to just the mental accounting. And I know we do that not only with clients, but I know I do it in my personal life. This money is for this purpose. And I think a lot of clients do the same thing. So a lot of this concept of the three buckets is just trying to align those mental accounting buckets. And we'll give some examples of maybe how clients have built in their own terminology. And we've kind of now used that for them, just because it makes that conversation so much easier when we are speaking the same language and we're referring to whatever that is the same way. It just makes it very easy to connect those dots.
So very broadly, we really talk about three buckets in investment and financial planning. This is where those two things come together. Short-term bucket, medium-term bucket, long-term bucket. And that's how we've kind of titled it. If you go to our website, if you're not familiar with our three bucket theory, if you're a client, I really hope you are. On our website, in our graphics, wherever you will find it, we list them as short-term, medium-term, long-term. So let's do it. Let's go through each bucket. Let's define what we really mean by these titles and then how we can do a better job putting into practice for them the concept of it to how we're going to refer to it, like you said, in their words, if we can get to that spot.
Yeah. All right. So let's go. Short-term bucket, high level, one to two years worth of spending need. We'll say it's in retirement, but doesn't really matter. Short term is short term. But for us, that's 1 to 2 years. So in our minds, that is money that should not be exposed to really any risk. That should be as safe can be. Think money market accounts, CDs, just savings at the bank. Anywhere that you can put money that you're not going to lose or you're not at risk at losing it. It needs to be safe. That's your safety net. Because we know you're going to spend it, or at least the plan is for you to spend that money over the next year or two. And we don't want to put that in a spot where the it's at the whims of the market at any point in time.
So if we were to redefine it as not just short term, it could be defined as helping you avoid the, oh crap, look how bad the market is. Fuck it.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's way, way too many words for a title, but that's really what that's what we hope it helps you avoid. Right. We know that wherever we're going to be, you know, in the next couple of years, markets go through cycles. We go through economic cycles. There will be a downturn in the market. Mm-hmm. And historically speaking, that could be sometimes they've been shorter in the recent history. But,
sure,
you know, 6, 9, 12, 18 months, you know, that would be on the longer end, historically speaking. So if you have cash in a bucket, 1 to 2 years worth of what you're spending, we hope that that does help you avoid the angst that can come with, look how bad the markets are. You've got money in a safe spot.
Yeah. So I'll ask you. So someone you know has given it its own name for this short-term bucket.
I think a lot of people relate to it, whether it's couch money, whether it's mattress money, you know, coffee can money, freezer money, yeah. Right? This is money that, now you probably have it in an account. That's why you're maybe not as connected to it in the way you would if it was truly in a coffee can or truly in your couch. But it's the same exact concept, right? It is money that I know I have access to. I'm not going to lose it. That concept of shoving it in a coffee can is exactly the same point. This first bucket is supposed to be that. So you can call it that.
Yeah, call it whatever you want. I know we have clients like that's their cash on hand bucket. Whether they actually spend it or not, that is mentally allocated for spending. So they know, based on that bucket, how much is in there. Doesn't matter what the market's doing, as long as they have what they need or feel comfortable with in that short-term safety spending bucket.
Now, sometimes the difficulty is, if you are the type of person that certainly is okay holding a lot of cash, you probably hold that at the bank. That's probably this short-term bucket is, as I would say, not as frequently something that would be coming from us on an investment statement.
Sure,
right?
Sure.
We may hold some cash. That's always prudent on our end too. But this, if you're just pulling, I'm still just thinking, you pull out your statement, it's a bad time in the market. You're going, look how much money. It's going the wrong direction. Look at this drawdown. Look at what I'm losing.
Yeah.
We don't want to lose sight of the cash that you have on hand that the plan has told you you should have for the next 1 or 2 years. And for some people, it's a lot more, frankly.
Yeah. Yeah. And I know we've talked about that in different iterations, different podcasts, different pieces of content. But yeah, it is all customizable based on the situation. One to two is just the baseline. For us, but yeah, can certainly be different. So pivot to the second bucket, the medium term, or maybe it's the income bucket. I think, so just to take a step back, the whole idea of the three bucket theory, this three bucket concept, is ultimately a conveyor belt ending with that short-term bucket being where you're actually spending from. This medium term, call this the 3 to 7 years worth of spending need. Its goal is to produce income so that it can help replenish. It's the conveyor belt, right? Push that forward into the short term bucket to fill some of that cash that you've already spent. But it can fluctuate. There could be risk involved there, right? Think bonds, think dividend paying stocks, maybe certain types of annuities, things that are just paying you an interest rate or dividends just to own them. It's more passive income.
Yeah. I think the 3 to 7 years is important to articulate. We're not just like willy nilly pulling numbers out here.
I guess that's fair.
If I was saying 1 to 2 years worth of spending in cash, that's because that would be hopefully the long end of a drawdown in the market. 3 to 7 years is usually the life cycle of bear to bull, right? So
yeah,
without having to put too much risk at play, yeah, this is the bucket that we would absolutely hope. And I think sometimes we see that this is the bucket that's kind of lost on people as they get closer to retirement. But yeah, the anxiety of retiring and knowing that your money's finite is because you feel like you're losing those paychecks coming to you on a biweekly, monthly, whatever it was for you.
Yep.
We want you to think of this medium-term bucket. You called it income. Think of that like your paycheck, right? Regardless of whether that value of it is going up or down, it is paying you. And as long as it is paying you and we are passing that forward, then that is replenishing the cash. So I don't know your thoughts here on other ways that we could describe it that's maybe a little bit more tangible.
Well, yeah, you just kind of said it. It's we like to compare this bucket to somebody's house, right? Your house is your house is fluctuating in value over time, but it really doesn't matter because that's not necessarily if it's your primary residence. I think its sole purpose is shelter, right? Literally the roof over your head. Great that the value is going up over time more often than not. Sometimes it can go the other direction, but ultimately its purpose is shelter. This bucket, similarly, its purpose is income. So yes, your investments, however that's structured, can fluctuate in value, but that's not necessarily its main purpose. So it again, just comes down to the mental accounting. This is how I'm invested. I know it's going to fluctuate, but as long as it's paying me that income just to own it, that's the biggest important piece of that medium term, that income bucket. Call it that's the golden goose. Those are your golden eggs that are being produced in that bucket that we're hoping just for owning this golden goose, it's going to spit out some eggs for me to eat in retirement.
Yeah, we're probably too far removed from that concept of you had a bond and you're clipping the coupons and like handing in the coupon to get your paycheck. So, you know, in today's world, I don't know if this is a fair parallel, but you know, you get your Social Security check depending on your birthday, the first, second, third week of the month.
Yeah.
You know, if you worked for a company that pays you a pension, that's a consistent paycheck. It may not be that robotic, it may not be that consistent, but it's the same concept that regardless of the value of the bucket, that income stream is coming to you to help replace the paychecks that you were used to. So yeah, I liked the way that you called that. This is the roof over the head bucket, right? This is going to provide, pay the bills, hopefully on a consistent basis. And over time, I think it's fair to say that this bucket should sustain some sort of value. It's not, I know we had a bad year. Bonds had a very bad year in 2022, but yeah. More often than not, this is going to be a more conservative bucket than the risk that will be associated in the last bucket that we'll talk about here shortly.
Yeah.
Right now.
I was going to say, I don't have anything else to say on the medium-term bucket. So yeah, let's pivot to the long-term. So the primary focus of this long-term bucket is growth. It is for your, we'll say, riskier investments. And again, risk is all relative. But if your short-term is 1 to 2 years, the medium-term is 3 to 7, we say the long-term is 7+. And I'll piggyback on what you said earlier. Why 7 years plus? As you said, that a typical market cycle, peak to trough, back to peak, is usually, historically speaking, 7 years. It hasn't necessarily played out to a T in recent history, but I think it is still a really good guideline that at any point, if you have enough of your spending set aside in bucket one, the short term, or bucket two, the medium term, or I should say and, not or, in theory, you shouldn't have to worry about what your long-term bucket is doing in any seven-year period, giving yourself the time to ride out the eventual volatility, the pullbacks, the corrections that we will see regularly in the markets. The purpose, again, of this bucket is for that long-term growth. It's really to try to keep up with inflation. That Social Security may not be doing a great job of keeping up with inflation. If somebody has a pension that doesn't have a cost of living adjustment, you know, those dollars early on in retirement are not going to be the same dollars, you know, when you get to age 85, for example.
Right.
If it's not inflating, you're not being able to buy as much. This is where you're hoping to at least try to keep up, grow your money over time.
Yeah, I think the hard part about this bucket is if something's not going well in the market, like these are the assets that are going to be showing that. This is money that you can lose, and that's loses a snapshot in time. We would say sure. Over long periods of time, all we need out of this bucket doesn't have to win every year, just needs mm-hmm. to win. And historically, the market goes up, right? We're at all-time highs, even after a very tough 2022, tough start to, you know, pandemic year of 2020.
Yeah.
If it does its job, it's for the long term. Any losses should hopefully be short term. But that's why we have those front two buckets, to give yourself the opportunity to wait out that period of time, not have to do anything. Maybe we're going to tell you to rebalance. But when you have gains, when there are those good years, we're not letting it ride. You take those gains, you pass them forward to an income bucket, which is taking the income and passing it forward to the cash bucket, like you said, the conveyor yeah. belt. So
yeah.
I know it's a tough, this one's a tougher concept, I think, you know, because we are so sensitive to short-term movements in the market. And yeah. this bucket is what the news is talking about. When people say the market, the S&P, the Dow Jones, the NASDAQ, this is the bucket they're talking about.
Yeah. And it often creates the most like visceral feelings or reactions to headlines, to seeing a statement. I'm sure thinking back to very beginning of COVID times when the market was down 30% in a 3-week period, this is the bucket that scares the mm-hmm. crap out of people on a regular basis, just because that is it's what people see. It's what people hear the most. When you think about investing, you think risk and not necessarily the cash or maybe more conservative income producing assets. It is this long-term bucket that I think really impacts people emotionally and psychologically. But that's where our hope is, if you're able to structure things in a way to put things into perspective, this long-term bucket, this growth engine that I need to invest in for my future self.
Yeah, it's future me money.
Yeah, and I think, you know, I made the joke earlier before we started recording, depending how old somebody is, say they're 60 years old and they're looking forward to retirement, any money in that long-term bucket, that's for 70-year-old me. I'm not yeah. going to touch this for, you know, at least the next 7 years, assuming all my plan is set up in a way that allows this last bucket to just do its thing over time. And to your point, it's not, the S&P stocks are not going to always go up. We know that. Mm-hmm. History has taught us that over and over again. But more often than not, time is your friend in this bucket. So that's where setting up your first two buckets to give yourself time to just let things go on the stock side. Over time, usually you're rewarded for that.
Yeah, and what's kind of popping into my head right now, Adam, I think when people get to retirement, and we really, the three bucket theory is something that we would focus on being like, here's how you're going to run your retirement portfolio. I think people think like how they behaved while they were saving needs to be vastly different when now they have a finite pool of resources, right? I need to invest differently. I need to review this. I don't want to see short-term losses because this is all I have. I would encourage people to just tap into that saver mentality, right? What got you all this money that you can now place in these buckets? It was the mindset at 30, 40, 50 year old, whenever you could start saving, that mm-hmm. this is future me money. I can set this aside. I'm not going to worry about what it does this year because this is for my retirement. This growth bucket is that same concept. Just because you retired at 62, 65, whenever it is, this is money for much later in life. We can't just put everything in cash. It won't mm-hmm. keep up with inflation. We can't just put everything in that income bucket. It may not keep up with healthcare expenses. Yeah. You need to have this, and we would encourage you to have that same mindset. If this is your savings for the future, this is future me money. I don't have a better name for it.
It is a tough one. I'm thinking about a specific client. I think it is. It's one of the harder thoughts to kind of work through, because as you said, when people get to retirement or are approaching retirement, the natural inclination is, well, I've taken risk and I've invested and accumulated these assets to get to retirement. And now's the time when I'm going to start to use them. So I need to put everything in a safe spot. But yeah, more often than not, it just, we're hoping for many people that they're going to have a long retirement runway, that putting everything in a safe spot on day one of retirement doesn't always make the most sense. And I shouldn't say doesn't always, it rarely, if ever, makes the most sense, because there are so many other variables in retirement that can throw you a curveball, and you're going to want to be able to have some growth, have access, keep up with inflation, mm-hmm. as we said, like just build a long-term care bucket if you need to, if you're not buying insurance, just other things that you want to account for in retirement. I'll go back to, I have a client in mind who always pushes back. He's in his early 70s, always pushes back on, you know, the concept of, well, the longer we can keep this invested, right? Don't kill any golden geese that are laying your golden eggs, the better off you'll be in the long run. But the answer, or the pushback, is always, yeah, but I don't know. Long is all relative to me. I may only have a few years. So like long-term, I can't even think long-term because I'm only looking at what's in front of me just to get through the short-term. But point being, we don't know what our future holds. The whole point of saving for retirement, as you said, is to give yourself that cushion, to give yourself that future flexibility, because we don't know what we're going to need, when we're going to need it. We're all just making these assumptions and planning in today's world for tomorrow. And having that growth bucket, this long-term bucket, just gives you a better opportunity for flexibility in the future if and when it's needed.
So then I'd wrap it up by probably saying this. This concept of three buckets is kind of the framework for everybody that we work with. Mm-hmm. Now, what you have in each bucket may be relative to how you view investment risk, how you plan to spend, and what you need at what given time. But I think this works for everybody, which is why we would say the call to action, if we're working together, is call these buckets what you will. What's going to work for you? You know, we can even nickname your accounts as we need to on the website, on your statements, whatever.
Yeah.
However, you can now take this concept and be able to visualize it as you view your money, we'll do it. We'll make it work.
Yeah. So one last thing to share. So we have a client who has multiple accounts. And it, again, it just comes back to mental accounting. This part of their retirement account is their legacy account. Mm-hmm. It is their, they own it. They can use it during their lifetime, but mentally that is bucketed. I'm hoping never to touch this. And this is for the grandkids. So mm-hmm. something just as simple as this is the legacy bucket within my growth bucket. Like just being able to share that terminology and think in the same wavelength as the client really, I think, makes any decision on investments or spending in retirement, it just makes it that much easier that we're all on the same page, thinking about it in the same way. So to your point, challenge to the clients or you know, to anybody that we work with, think about it. Think about how you would view these different buckets, short-term, medium-term, and long-term, and try to think of what terms or terminology you would want to use that just feels more natural for how you view it. And let us know. I'd be very curious to see how many different variations people come up with, because it is very interesting to me. A lot of it is just psychological. How do people think about the purpose of their money?
Love it. Awesome way to wrap it up. Thank you for your help. Have a wonderful rest of your day.
You too.
And I'll catch you soon.
See you next time.
Bye.
See ya.
Hey everyone, Adam and I really appreciate you tuning in. Please note that the opinions we voiced in the show are for general information only and are not intended to provide specific recommendations for any individual. To determine which strategies or investments may be most appropriate for you, consult with your attorney, your accountant, and financial advisor or tax advisor prior to making any decisions or investing. Thanks for listening.